That's your brother.
Well, good morning, everyone. I appreciate you giving me a little time this morning. I was listening to some of the elders talk about how frightening it is sometimes when we approach the pulpit, and they were relaying times when they think, I'm not feeling the Spirit. The indwelling is not coming up. I don't know what I'm going to say. And I can certainly imagine that that's a scary, scary thought. For me, a very, very scary thing is everything is just crammed in there waiting to come out, and I have no idea where I'm going to start to get some meaningful communication to come through. And after the meeting that we had in Bonifay, we had talked about a lot of things, and every time I sit down to study and pray, I'm just overwhelmed with the threads of truths and messages that have come through, and determining how I can deliver that in a meaningful way, in a timely way, is certainly the challenge I've been facing. If you had the good fortune to be there that weekend, we talked a great deal about hope. We talked a great deal about how tribulation plays into the human condition, and how all of those things bring about faith. And that thread throughout that weekend was something that I desperately needed. My soul was so thirsty for that message. As we think about the human condition and the tribulations that we face, we look at the human race and we see that there are so many people searching for so many answers. And I was reflecting on a message, and I'll try to be kind about this, but an individual was saying, God wants you to be happy. God wants you to succeed. And a lot of the message that was coming through was making mankind the centrality to what God's eternal purpose is. That's not completely wrong, but it's not quite right. And I wanted to explore that a little bit today. What is God's eternal purpose? And there was something that was said at the pulpit in Bonifay, talking about the covenant. Now, there are several covenants that we have that we can reference in the Bible. But the covenant that was being referred to was the very first covenant, that that came about before the foundation of the world, which then leads into the nature, the triune nature of our God. So now we've got to think about a covenant and the different covenants that came through. Now we've got to think about the triune nature of the God. And then we think about the human condition, and you can see it can be a little bit overwhelming to think about all those things and to organize the thread of each thought that comes out. But it can be simplified if we can step outside of our own thoughts and our own desire to be the center. And that's where sometimes this message is misunderstood. That God's purpose is putting us at the center. And I would submit that we receive an inheritance through the execution of his purpose, which is of benefit to us. But we are not the center. We do not play a part, an active part. We are passive recipients of that. Let's start at the beginning then, shall we? Genesis. Talking about the triune nature of our God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was out form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So we have God and we have the Spirit of God, the first two elements that are in the triune nature. And God said, then God spoke. The Word of God formed the world from nothing. And that's the third element. And when God made his creation, he said, it is good. He didn't just say it was good. He said, it is very good. And we are the benefactors of that. Now, we will all agree that in this purpose that God has, he made a covenant, and that we will receive an inheritance. I can think of, and someone's going to come up to me after lunch and they're going to think of one more way, but I'll think of four ways that man, woman, anybody can receive an inheritance. And the first is by birth. By birth, you receive an inheritance. So also, when we talk about in the beginning, let's go to in the beginning, talking about John chapter 1. And it echoes and even further explains God's triune nature. But it also talks about an element of inheritance, benefactors that we are based on the covenant between the triune natures of God. And we'll get to that here in a minute. But going over to John, there's one scripture. I want to read it verbatim. And it's in John chapter 1. My fingers aren't flipping as fast as my brain. Looking at John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Inheritance through being the children of God. Another way that one can receive inheritance. I adopted my daughter. She will inherit what is mine to leave her. Not by any choice that she made, but in Ephesians chapter 1, we are very familiar with it because it's such a foundational explanation of our doctrine that we are adopted out of the race of Adam and adopted into sonship, daughtership, being adopted into Christ. And that inheritance. And then another way that the beneficiaries can be established is by marriage. The church is the bride of Christ.
Amen.
And in Ephesians chapter 5 describes how he has prepared for himself a bride. And then through will and testament. When in Hebrews it talks about there is no will and testament that will be executed until there is a death. And we talk about the New Testament being about Christ and his death to leave his inheritance to those that he will. So when we think about the nature of man and the desire to be the centerpiece, that all of this was created specifically for us, I would suggest we are miraculous beneficiaries of an incredible covenant that existed before we ever were put on the earth. But what is the age-old question that comes about? What is the purpose? What is the purpose? And going back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know, in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. I would submit to you, this is the first act of idolatry. Because here, the serpent convinced Eve that what she thought was better than what God said. And idolatry of our own intellect is still idolatry. And that is what is permeating so much of the messages that we hear, that somehow our action, our belief, our intellect is going to override the sovereignty of God. And that can't be true. So I'm going to abbreviate this a little bit, and it was... It was such a wonderful thing, the song service this morning. But the purpose here, and I have scriptures, the covenant. God made a creation so that his Son could be glorified. The Son came to give glory to God. In the manifestation, the Spirit that dwells in us brings glory to Christ. The covenant of the triune nature of God, that is the purpose. And we are the beneficiaries of it. We are not the centerpiece. Paul said, to live is Christ. And then I'll end from the mouths of children. Let's look at, in your songbook, 19. The title is Revive Us Again. How are we revived? In the very first verse, we praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love. God gave Jesus to bring glory to himself, and the beneficiaries, us, we bring glory to the Son by the songs that we sing, the messages, and the love that we show each other. For Jesus who died is now gone above. All praise thee, O God, thy Spirit of light. All three elements of God's triune nature are in this song. And when we sing the song, our spirit is revived. We're the beneficiaries of this central covenant that was made before we were ever born or ever put on the earth, before the earth was even formed, for the glory of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I hope this was beneficial. I hope I didn't take up too much time. Thank you very much.